Just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the Psalms. We thank you that they're so relevant to us, to each one of us today. So Lord, as we look at Psalm 18, we just pray that you may just help us to understand how David felt and understand, Lord, the reason that he wanted to praise you for what you've done for him in his life. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, there are many programmes on the television, aren't there, these days, where people compete in contests. All sorts of contests, but contests to show that they are the one with the best singing voice. They want to woo the studio audiences and impress the judges, don't they? They want to be recognised and acknowledged for their singing skills. And they want desperately to step on the bottom rung of the ladder that is going to lead them to stardom. In our psalm this evening, David is singing. The heading for Psalm 18 says this: He sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So it was written when David found the time to rest after defeating his enemies. And as he rests, he reflects on past victories, and his mind turns towards God and God's faithfulness to him. He recognises that God loved him enough to protect him, and he is powerful enough to guarantee him ultimate safety. And before long, David's heart is taken up with all that his Lord means to him. So this song of praise came about as a result of reflection that led on to rejoicing. Psalm 18 begins with words that communicate both passion and power, and it shows that he loves God with all his heart. This song isn't about trying to impress God with all his heart. It isn't about trying to impress God with a performance that's going to woo him. It isn't about what God will think of David's performance and how he will reward him. It's about David giving his God the praise that he deserves for the protection that he has received. From the depth of his being, David could say in verses 1 and 2, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my strength and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now these words are coming out of the mouth of David, but they are coming deeper than that, aren't they? They are coming from the heart. They are genuine words of recognition for what his God has done for him. They are words of gratitude that offer this graphic description of just what it means to David to fully know God's protection on his life. His enemies, they are after his blood and his position, and they will do anything to achieve their aim. Now, in the worldly sense, David's life would hold little security, but he wasn't alone facing adversity and danger, because he knew without any doubt that his God was facing it with him and also giving him protection. So as he finds a quiet place to reflect the joy that he has in his Lord, that joy begins to well up, and it wells up so much that this song comes from the heart. It's a result of the recognition that God, his stronghold, has delivered him. And in verse 3, David has no doubt that his God is worthy of praise. Yes, he'd experienced dangerous and life-threatening situations, situations that he couldn't handle on his own. But he knew that he wasn't on his own. His God was right there with him. And in verse 6 we are told that in his distress David called out to the Lord. I cried to the Lord for help, and from his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. So what does this say to us? How many times have we faced difficult situations in our lives and just continued to battle on alone? How many times have we been overwhelmed by what is happening in our own life or the life of a loved one to the point where we can't focus on the Lord or his overwhelming love, his care and concern for that situation that we face? How often do we stop? How often do we stop and reflect on the love and care that God has for us? When we do stop, as David did, and we look back as David did, we will then become more aware of God's intervention and guidance throughout our lives. The way in which he loves us so very, very much. The way that he wants to protect us by walking with us through both good and difficult situations. The joy that this brought David led him to be singing in praise to his God. And we are encouraged to sing for joy in praise of our God. Psalm 95, we've been saying earlier on, verses 1 to 3. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Perhaps what David did by finding a quiet place to reflect is a good example for us when things are distressing us, when situations are overwhelming us, and we are anxious about what the future holds, whether it be short or the long-term future. With everything encompassing us, we can be blinded to the fact that our God is there, offering us his love and support. In the quietness and reflection that he so desperately needed, and yet probably found it so hard to find, when he did, he could then share with God the things that concerned him and the things that were overwhelming him. In his reflection, he was awakening to the fact that he wasn't facing his enemies alone, that God was right there with him. He was awakening to the fact that God is a good listener, and this helped him greatly to reflect on the many times in the past that God had been there for him. This led David to praise his God in song for the times that he knew that God had guided him and protected him. And he could then sing these words, verses 17 to 19. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. So here David describes his God as a rock, a fortress, but also the horn of his salvation. His God had saved him. However daunting, however overwhelming the situation he found himself in, God was his salvation. Whatever the world threw at him, and whatever the world throws at us, God offers us his salvation, and nothing can take that away. And this is the gift of life with him for all eternity. Isn't that a reason to sing songs of praise to our God? Our God delights in his children, doesn't he? He delights in you and delights in me. I don't know how many of you recall the advert on television, this was many years ago, where the insurance cover firm puts their hand around your home and the contents and the people living in there as a sign of the protection their cover would provide, leaving the purchaser totally and utterly protected. Well, David, as he reflected, must have felt the hands of God around him, giving him complete protection. And before we move on, I'd like to read again verse 19, where David says, "He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." If not in body, his God had rescued him from the danger that he was facing. He knew that he was not alone. His God was with him and offered him his salvation. Through what God had offered him, he could know the victory that only God can give. That victory, that relationship with the one true and living God, could never be severed. It was there for eternity. And that's why David could sing praise, because of what his God had offered him and done for him. Just as God had a relationship with David and delighted in him, he delights in you and me and wants to have that same personal relationship with us. He is the God of the universe, but also the God of the individual. He loved David and he loves you. And I read this in a commentary on Psalm 18. The highest and holiest experience that we can have is the worshipful delight of the Lord. The highest and holiest experience we can have is the worshipful delight of the Lord. When we truly understand that he delights in us, we can then know what it is to delight in God. We can know what it is to deepen that relationship with the God who saves. And I read this recently as well. When a non-singer becomes a Christian, he or she becomes a singer. Not all are blessed with a finely tuned ear and a well-modulated voice. The sound may not be superb. It may even be out of tune and off key. But when our worship comes from the heart, God is delighted. And I must say, I am very pleased about that with a voice like mine. As our relationship deepens with God, then we will delight in following his ways and seeking his will and his delight in us. So verses 20 to 36 gives us an insight. How do we delight God? Our character delights God. David had integrity. Verse 20. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. Now we could think that David here is blowing his own trumpet, particularly as he goes on to say, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin." Well, is this self-promotion to make himself right with God? How can he say that he has kept himself from sin? Does he really believe that? In Psalm 32, David acknowledges that his sin was weighing heavily on him. It was affecting his emotional and physical health. And in his relationship with God, he was brushing his sins under the carpet, leaving him vulnerable. But when he had to give in and face up to his wrongdoings before the Lord, he knew what it was to receive his Lord's forgiveness. In Psalm 51, David asks the Lord to cleanse him, from the sin that was destroying their relationship. Verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 51, we see David's honesty before God. He says this, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." So I think here he recognises that God has the right to judge. And he also recognises what many people do not do. He recognises that he was born into a sinful world and is therefore contaminated by sin and is in need of God's cleansing. Psalm 51 verse 7, he asks God to cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And in verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. No, David wasn't blowing his own trumpet and depending on his own self-effort. It was more a matter of intent. He did commit sins and he knew it. He knew that he needed God's forgiveness, and his intention was to lead a life that gave glory to his God. What David is doing is asking God to honour his attempt to live a godly life. Is it your desire, is it my desire, to live a life that gives glory to God? Do you recognise that you are a sinful person that needs the forgiveness of your God to make you whole? Do you recognise that you need constantly to claim the forgiveness that only your God offers you? God knows the sincerity of your heart and the sincerity of my heart. He knows your intentions, and if intentions are honourable, he will wash you and me, and he will cleanse you and me from the sins that distance us from that truly wonderful relationship with our God. Yes, our God really does delight in his children, even though sometimes we do not feel that we're worthy of such delight and love that he actually has for us. Psalm 18 again. David now moves on in verses 25 to 27 to consider the great truths about God. He encourages his children to live pure lives. He is our example that we seek to emulate. We will never achieve purity because only God is pure, but we can strive to live the life that he asks us to live. We can only do this with his help, help that he is always willing to offer. There's just nothing that we can hide from him. He knows the very depths of our being. He knows our sincerity, and he knows our motives. And David knows from experience that he is a God that will stand up for those who follow his will, but he will punish those who try to pull the wool over his eyes. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. So as David reflects on the dark and difficult days, he can praise God for being with him, for being his searchlight to show him the way. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Verse 28. He reflects that in times of weakness, God had been his source of strength. He may have been a king, but with that title came expectations of the people that he ruled. The people relied on David to save them from the enemy. His reflection led him to see that it was God who was giving him the strength that he needed. Verse 29. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Well, you may be pleased to know that God may not want you to lead an army into battle. He might not even want you to scale a wall. But he wants his people to serve him in daily living. He wants to advance his kingdom here on earth, here in this country, here in this town of Biddulph, here in your street. We can write a list a mile long giving reasons why he can't use us to build up his kingdom. And if we look at the list of reasons, we find that it is about us and not God. I can't do this. I can't do that. David must have thought and said those words many times. But in his reflection, he recognized that God had. God had given him strength, God had given him direction, and God had given him purpose, and God enabled him to do things that alone David couldn't do. And this psalm is a psalm of David, but on the surface, it's about David. But looking at it closely, it really is about God and his character. Encouraged and thrilled by such aspects of God's character, David then returns to reflecting on God's protection and care that he has experienced. He sees that his strength had come from God, and God, you might say, was his personal trainer. Without God, David could see that he couldn't do what he had done on his own. So his gratitude overflows. Verse 39, this is a verse that Myra didn't read. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight. You, not me, Lord. You, not me. The psalm, it is a psalm of praise that stems from David's reflection. And it ends with a surge of praise. Verse 49. Therefore I will praise you, Lord. Among the nations I will sing the praises of your name. When we come together, it is our opportunity to give God the thanks and praise that he deserves. So I'm going to close with these words from the Shorter Westminster Catechism, which says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, we're here in God's house this evening. We've come with our difficulties, our sorrows, and our joys to glorify God. We can find here that space that David found. We can be still and reflect on God's goodness to us, as David did. We can reflect on the fact that he is our rock in times of trouble, and we can have thankful hearts that he is always with us. We can praise him with our voices and in our hearts for the wonderful, caring God that he is. Amen.